So as Cindy said, my name is Tricia Childers, and I am the creator of a program called Home on Purpose. So Home on Purpose is actually a smaller division of a much bigger program called Practical Family, and that's run by Jennifer Bryant. So that's why at the bottom you'll see the website is practicalfamily.org/homeonpurpose. So Jen's tagline is strengthening moms for real life struggles. That's her thing. And she'll do parenting and homeschooling and battling perfectionism, like you name it, she covers it. And my division, my little branch of her community, focuses specifically on home care. So my mission is to help you make your life at home easier. And sometimes that involves decluttering and downsizing. Sometimes it's reorganizing. Sometimes it's just training the kids to do their own stinking laundry so you don't have to do it. Anything that makes your life at home easier, that's me. Yeah, that's a big one. I actually talk about that in wardrobe lesson series, in the house cleaning, in the guide to the smooth school year. I always talk about getting the kids to pull their weight because, let's face it, that makes life a lot easier. And actually, the very, very beginning of my whole idea for this program started when I was a brand new mommy. This was 8.5 years ago, and I was part of a MOPS group. And we did exactly what you guys just did. We would come every other week, and the first thing we would do is sit around the table and have a meal and chat. And when that happens, when you put a lot of exhausted moms of babies and toddlers at a table, some venting usually takes place about things like laundry and, you know, I know I need to be eating healthier, but it's so hard to get a healthy meal on the table at the right time, 7 nights a week, you know, and all these different things that they would express frustration with. And I couldn't help them with potty training their kids. I couldn't help them with their marriages. But anytime somebody shared about anything to do with home management, I found myself just bubbling up with little ideas. And I would say, oh, yeah, that was difficult for me, too. But then I tried this, and now it's easier. Or you know what? Your toys wouldn't scatter all over the house so much if you did it this way. And I just thought I was chatting and just hanging out and helping people. But what happened over time is the same women would come back to me again and again. And sometimes they would say, like, you know, oh, that thing you suggested, I tried it, and it's so much easier now. And I actually cooked 4 home-cooked meals last week, which was super victory for me. Or, you know, now my 5-year-old, I taught my 4-year-old son, both of my kids by the time they were 4 years old were doing their own laundry once a week. And I did the math. I saved myself 1,250 loads of laundry between the time now and when they graduate high school. So I started teaching people how to do that. And they were like, yes, thank you. But it was more than that. It wasn't just that these little things were getting easier. It was that what was causing anxiety and what was causing tension kind of just relaxed a little bit. Like I could feel their load lighten. And then they started asking me more questions, not just about babies and toddlers, but, well, what about the garage? And, you know, my husband's a pack rat, but I'm a minimalist. How do you navigate that? And I keep telling my in-laws not to send toys, and they keep sending way too many gifts for the kids, and I'm trying to get rid of this stuff. Like, what do you do there? And it grew from there. And I started to notice that I was giving, even though the situations in each individual home were different, the root problems seemed to be very similar. Like I found myself addressing the same issues over and over again and giving the same kinds of advice. The same types of strategies tended to be really effective even though the circumstances were different. And that kind of became the raw material that ended up becoming the basis for Home on Purpose. I took my best strategies for the most common problems, and I started putting together things like lesson series and instructional guides. But I also kept my eyes open for something else, and that was the emotional obstacles. So a lot of women will say, I know I need to solve this, and I even feel like I kind of know what I need to do, but something is stopping them. And a big one, which I'm sure everybody here understands, is time. Right? How on earth am I going to find the time to do this stuff? And I speak to women after women who says, Tricia, it sounds great. I'd love to do what you're suggesting, but I'm maxed out. Like, just getting through the basic, regular, everyday life takes basically all of my time and energy. That's all I get. And by the end of the week, I got nothing. Right? And I get this image in my mind of somebody being, there's a reason we use the word stretched thin, where it's like, I'm at the maximum, that's it. And that's when we start saying, please don't let anything go wrong. Please don't let anything go wrong. Because if anything goes wrong, I'm going to snap. right? If it takes all of your energy and concentration to get through a morning routine, you can't handle it when your kid spills the milk. When it takes all of your energy to get dinner on the table and then you realize you forgot to defrost the meat, the whole dinner falls apart and you order a pizza again, which you didn't want to do because you're trying to eat healthier and it's extra money for something that's not as good. So everything falls apart. So if you find yourself saying, I would love to make my life easier, but I'm maxed out, that's actually proof that something has to change. It feels very precarious. It feels very dangerous to say nothing can go wrong, otherwise everything's gonna fall apart. We need to have a cushion between ourselves and life, because life is gonna happen. January, I finally cleaned up all the Christmas decorations. I was cleaning up the basement and I dropped something heavy on my toe and broke it. I was on crutches for 2 weeks. All right, and just all of the things that I thought I was going to be able to accomplish in January, out the window. Life happens, right? Stuff happens. Your kid is going to get the flu, or your other kid's class is going to get quarantined, or, you know, drive past another construction site, which are everywhere over here, and you're going to get another nail in your tire and have to deal with that. And we have to have the ability to absorb those bumps in the road. So regular, everyday, basic stuff can't require everything of us. We have to have extra. Plus, that extra time and energy, that's where the fun is. I was speaking to a mom a couple months ago, and she was begging me for my help with meal planning. And she was so emotional about it. And I know it's frustrating when you can't get dinner on the table. And I asked her, why is this so emotional for you? She said, Tricia, three different times in the last 6 months, I have been invited to join a meal train for somebody who is in need, and I've had to say no, because I can't even get my own dinners on the table, let alone make an extra meal for somebody else. And it just was eating away at her that she couldn't give. We want to approach life from a position of strength. That's where the fun is, that's where the generosity is, that's where the confidence is, and that's where we can absorb those unexpected things and still be okay. And so if you find yourself like, oh my gosh, I can't even like pull my car into the garage and walk into the door without grumbling about something that's bugging me, yes, it should be easy to carry your groceries into the kitchen and put them away. If that takes effort, something's got to change. So I do know that it does take extra time and energy up front, right? And so if you are maxed out, yes, it is asking a lot to say, I'm going to give you a little bit more to do. But the reason you're willing to do that is because what's on the other side, right? It's the same thing when my two kiddos, they're almost 7 years old and 8 and a half right now. So I had them, they're a year and a half apart. I had them back to back. And when my younger one, my son, was 1 year old, I remember going to the park, and because I thought, oh, I've got to give my kids some fun. We've been sitting around the house doing nothing. And by the time I had packed everything up in the car, driven down to the park, unpacked everything, I was so exhausted that all I could do was just sit on the blanket with my baby son next to me rolling around. And my daughter was playing on the playground by herself. And she said, Mommy, can you push me on the swing? And I was like, no, Mommy's tired. Because I was woefully out of shape. I had zero energy. And I went home and I kind of cried about it to my husband. Like, I can't play with my own kids. I don't have energy. And he looked at me and what did he tell me to do? Exercise. And I was like, what are you talking about? I just told you I have no energy and you're telling me to go exercise? But he's right, because if you exercise regularly, what happens? You get more energy, right? And he's like, trust me, if you exercise regularly, the beginning is going to be horrible, but you're going to end up with more energy. And I knew that in my head, but the beginning was still horrible. I had to reach a point where I got sick and tired of feeling tired all the time that I was like, okay, forget it. I'm going to push through and do the hard work at the beginning. And of course, he was right. It only took like a month. It wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. It only took like a month before I started to feel the change. The same thing is true with your home. I call my program kind of like getting your house in shape, right? You're maxed out. Things aren't working. Every, you know, part of regular everyday life takes it all out of you. And I'm asking you to do another project, like, you know, I just told you I don't have time, that's the point. But I'm telling you that if you do it right, and that's a big if, if you do it right, the ultimate result is that your load, your home management load will lighten, and you will end up with more time and more energy. And when that happens, you do one little project and life gets a little bit easier and you go, oh, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. And now I do have a little bit more margin in my life. You know what? I'm going to take on something more. So that's what I'm going to be sharing with you today. I'm actually going to be giving you three different guidelines for how to get started. I'm going to be answering two questions. How do I know where to begin? You look at your whole home and it feels like every square inch desperately needs your attention. You can't solve everything. Where do you start? That's the first question. And then how do you find time for it? How do you find time? And then the third one is also, how do you know that it's going to be worth your time? Right? If I'm going to carve out time in my schedule, I better be sure that I'm going to get a return on that investment. I don't want to waste my time and my energy doing this extra stuff just to find out that nothing helped. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. So go ahead and open the packages. There is a note page in there that's got the three guidelines in there. The first one with the color is just all the information on my program. It's the second one in the back that has the note pages. It gives you a place to take some notes. And then also on your tables are little cards that say, Ask Tricia Anything. So as we go along, if you kind of say, oh, I wonder about this, or I'd love some advice on this specific area of my home, go ahead and write down your question and I'll collect them at the end. So, how do I know where to begin? I have to make sure that the effort I'm putting in up front is going to give me a return on my investment. So guideline number one, focus on projects that will ease your burden the most. Don't waste your time with stuff that isn't really going to give you the extra time and energy that you're looking for. Okay? I'll give you an example. In my office at home, we have two big bookshelves with these cabinets underneath, and the cabinets are a mess. They're totally disorganized. There's a bunch of stuff in there that doesn't have anything to do with my office. But you know what? I only go in that cabinet once every month or two. I'm the only one that uses the space. And the big problem is it takes me 3 or 4 minutes to find what I'm looking for instead of 1 minute. Who cares? So the cabinet's a mess. I'm not going to waste my time on that. It's not going to change the quality of my life on a day-to-day basis. So no, I don't have a Pinterest perfect home. I'm not Little Miss Organized at home. If it doesn't make my life easier, I don't care. I don't fold my clothes. Haven't done so ever. Because I've never gotten a return on that investment. I would rather start the next load of laundry. Right? So that's me. I only do the work if it's actually going to make my life easier. Now I'm going to compare that project with a different one, which is my kids' lunches. So I send my kids to school, they pack their lunch every single night, and then the next morning they have to put everything together in their lunchbox with the ice pack and the water bottle, and then when they come home from school they have to unload everything. So that's 3 times a day these kids are dealing with their lunch stuff. 5 days a week times 2 kids. That is a big deal. So at the end of the summer I realized that's not working. There's a problem going on because the lunch boxes weren't in the kitchen. I don't know where they went. There were only 1 water bottle each, even though my kids are supposed to have 4 water bottles each because they use them a lot. The ice packs were all over the freezer in weird places, way up high where they couldn't reach. And then the lunch Tupperwares had kind of drifted to the back of the cabinet and other stuff had gotten in the way just because summer happened, right? And I looked at and said, that's not going to work. I cannot be rushing to get ready for school and hear one kid go, Mommy, I can't reach the ice pack and I can't find my water bottle and oh, I forgot to put the Tupperware away. Now it's moldy, clean it. Like, I did not want to deal with that at all. So I had to do a big sacrifice. I have my kids 24/7 over the summers. And the only relief I kind of got was when I sent them to VBS. So that was like my precious mommy time. They're 6 and 7. They really wanted my attention and they're very energetic. So when I gave them to VBS, it was like my only quiet time. I did not want to sacrifice that time, but I knew what would happen if I didn't. So on the last day of VBS, I dropped them off and I went to that kitchen and I reorganized. I found all the water bottles, I found their lunch boxes, I washed everything, I put the ice packs in the right place, I reorganized the Tupperware cabinet to make sure that everything was up front, I designated a spot for everything, and when they came home, I trained them. We actually said, okay, tomorrow morning we're going on a picnic, so you're gonna practice making your lunches and learning where everything is. That is not how I wanted to spend that day, but when I think of all the relief that I'm experiencing now, and I'm gonna continue to experience through the rest of the entire school year, all of that frustration and annoyance and stuff that I saved myself from, that one VBS day feels like nothing. So that's the kind of return on your investment that I'm talking about. So I actually have a strategy for this, and I call it a walkthrough overview. And I have a blog on it that's coming out next week. It has a freebie downloadable template, and it walks you through the whole thing step by step. For tonight, I'm going to give you kind of like the flyby version. So don't try to do this in your head. You can do this when you get home. But this is how it would work. You know how, like, if you get an MRI, they would scan your entire body looking for the big problems, and they ignore the little details, right? They just look for the big problems. It's kind of like that, but for your home. You start on one end of your home, and you scan through the entire thing, searching for the biggest, most significant sources of frustration, inefficiency, ugh, right? So for example, you would go to your kitchen and you would just take an overview. You open up every single cabinet and look inside. Look inside the drawers, open your fridge, open your freezer, open your pantry. And then you think about how it feels to live life in that space. How does it feel when you're making your morning coffee? What do you wish was different? How does it feel to prep lunches, make dinner, wash dishes, and all that stuff? If you could change one thing in that space that would make life easier, what would it be? And then you jot it down. Writing it down, you're not promising to solve that problem. You're just saying, if I solved one thing in my kitchen, it would be that. Okay, you move on to the next space. You do the same thing for your family room. Same thing for your master bathroom. How does it feel to get ready in the morning? How does it feel to choose an outfit? How does it feel to do laundry? If I could change one thing, what would it be? Clearly, a lot of you would train your kids to do their own laundry. That would be something that they would do, right? So if I were to do one thing, what would I do? Write it down. And by the end, by the time you've scanned the entire home, you've got this list of possibilities. And at that moment, you can scan the whole list and pick just one to start with. And sometimes it's not a particular area of the home. You might have noticed that, like, in every room of the house, this little nagging problem, it's not a disaster, but the nagging problem always seems to be about the kids not pulling their weight. In the kitchen, they don't do their dishes. In the family room, their clothes are everywhere. Their chargers and phones are always spread out all over the house. Their rooms are the worst rooms of the house. They keep leaving stuff in the car. Oh, by the way, when you do the walkthrough overview, don't skip the car. The car is just as much of a physical living space as anything else. I spend more time in my car than I do in my bathroom. It matters. Yeah? So don't skip the car. And so maybe you notice the pattern that everywhere I look, it's always about the kids not taking care of their stuff. Darn it, if the kids would just put their stuff where they belong, then every aspect of my house would be a lot easier. There's your top priority, and that's what you focus on. And it's going to take work, but you know for a fact, because you did the walkthrough overview, that you're going to get a return on that investment. That's a tall order, though, isn't it? Train the kids to put their stuff where it belongs. Gosh, could I think of a harder project to tackle? Like, I'd rather sweep out my garage than that. So, brings me to guideline number two. Don't ever try to do the big project all at once. Always find a way to break it down into bite-sized pieces. And if you're still looking at that piece of the project and thinking, it feels too hard, break it down farther. So, for example, let's say you wanted to train your kids to put their stuff away. Start with, I don't know, their school stuff. Okay, so maybe you already have a rule in place that you can't watch TV until you're done with homework, let's say, sake of argument. Okay, I'm gonna add one more layer to that. You have to finish all of your homework, and you have to gather all of your school stuff, put it in your backpack, and the backpacks have to go on that bench by the garage door. Then you can watch TV. And you focus all of your energy for two straight weeks only on that one thing. Backpacks on the bench, backpacks on the bench. Turn off the TV, your backpacks aren't on the bench anymore. And you can get that one little piece of the puzzle in place. And once you kind of feel like, yeah, they're picking up on it, I have to remind them, but they get it, then you move on to the next one, electronics. Okay, they all have phones and iPads, and everybody's like losing chargers and losing things. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna take a Saturday afternoon, I'm gonna find a spot in the house to be the electronic station. And I'll get a power strip, and I'll call that the charging center. And then we have to find a time, but you know what? How about right before dinner? There's no phones at the table anyway, so before dinner, go charge your phone, go charge your iPad, go charge your iPod, whatever it is, go put your electronics away. And then you work on that habit. And when that one is down, you move on to the next little piece. Okay, before bed, my kids like to have a little nighttime snack right before bed. Okay, well then you guys have to clean up all of your clothes and shoes from the family room and put them away. Or you have to tidy your room, then you can have the nighttime snack, whatever it is. Now each of these little things doesn't feel like a lot, like you're accomplishing a lot. But my goodness, if you did that three or four times, I guarantee you after 2 months of focusing your energy on that, you're going to come home one day, look around the house and go, hey, it's not so bad. It's not perfect, but it's not so bad. The kids' stuff isn't everywhere. I'm not tripping over it. It's not dragging me down anymore. And then stop. You do not have to aim for perfection at all. Once you get to the point where you say, this is no longer a weight, this is no longer causing trouble, stop, go back to your walkthrough overview and pick the next thing. And the next thing might be laundry. The next thing might be training your kids to do their own dishes. Or the next thing might be tackling that garage. Whatever is causing the most trouble in your life. That make sense? Okay. Now, there's one more guideline that's incredibly important. Because I'll tell you, when I first started this whole program thing, I really got annoyed. My friend Jen told me to go on YouTube and see what else is out there. And all I kept seeing were these cutesy little mom hacks for ways to reorganize your stuff. And this is how you get rid of the clutter, declutter and done. And I'm like, that's it? That's all it is? Because what ends up happening with every single woman that I worked with who said, oh, I've tried those things, they don't work for me, because 3 months later, I'm right back where I started. They stop short. So the third guideline is to make sure that whatever solution strategies that you are using are long-lasting. Don't fall for the quick fix. You've got to do something that's going to stick around long enough for you to actually enjoy the return on that investment. Perfect example would be your wardrobe. I'm going to use this example because I just worked with a client on her wardrobe. Because she told me, I declutter my wardrobe 3 times a year. Like every time the weather changes, I declutter my wardrobe. And I asked her, I was like, so the clutter just grows back? Where is that clutter coming from? And she said, I don't know. And that was her problem. She got stuck in that cycle of constantly decluttering because the fix that she was using was only temporary. So if you've got, let's say, a difficult wardrobe, it's hard to put an outfit together, half of my clothes are sitting here unworn because, you know, that dress is cute, but it doesn't have shoes to go with it, or those are the clothes I'm still hoping to lose enough weight to get into again, and they've been sitting there for 5 years, or, you know, whatever. But it's uncomfortable to ask those kinds of questions. Where did the clutter come from? Personally, I have a really hard time passing a deal. If something is 80% off, it feels like this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for me that I'll never get again. And I know those shoes hurt. And I know that that's not saving $80. It's wasting $20 on shoes that I'll never wear, right? So that's one of the things that I had to, you know, deal with myself. Other women struggle with, like, retail therapy. I had a lousy day. Forget it. I'm going shopping, and I'm going to buy myself something nice to make me happy. My husband will never return something that was a gift. It doesn't matter that the sweater is itchy and not his style and way too small. His mommy gave it to him, so he has to keep it. And it sits in his closet for 10 years until I finally convince him to get rid of it. And all it did was cause problems for 10 years. So these questions are not, these questions are not very comfortable. We don't like asking them. And it's one of the reasons why not everybody loves my program. Because I don't do the cutesy, clever mom hacks. I don't do the quick fixes. I refuse, absolutely refuse to waste your time. If you want my help with your wardrobe, I'll give you help, but I'm gonna give you the kind of help that gives you a wardrobe that stays good 5 years from now, 10 years from now. I focus on habits like shopping. I force you to go on a spending freeze where you don't buy anything for 30 days so that you can recalibrate. Yes! Actually, next fall, a year from now, my goal is to have a shop on purpose challenge where the whole family goes on a household-wide, like a general spending freeze where you don't buy anything that isn't absolutely essential for 30 days, like a cleansing diet. Oh, but you come out on the other side of it and you never have to worry about giving something to Goodwill or Salvation Army that you bought, never used, and gave away. And all it did was take up space in the meantime. You never have to deal with that again. So those are, like I said, my program is not always very popular because I force you to do the real work. Otherwise, all you're going to do is, you know, like I said, if you're maxed out and you're going to invest extra time and energy on a home project, I want to make sure that those results last long enough for you to enjoy them. So basically, every time I create anything, whether it's a blog article or a lesson series or I do group coaching session, I always keep these three things in mind. I imagine that you have a lot on your plate, and I ask, what would ease your burden the most? I also assume that you have very little time to spare, and so I make sure that I'm only asking for little bite-sized tasks at a time, and I only use strategies that are truly going to benefit you in the long run. And it's really hard to start that first project, but once you start to feel those results, once you start to see, oh, my spaces are a little easier to manage, this stuff is kind of shrinking a little bit, oh, the kids are picking up on this thing about pulling their own weight, and life starts to get easier, then you look back and say, yes, it was hard to do that extra work, but I'm so glad that I did. Well, I hope you enjoyed this topic tonight. I hope that you found the content useful and encouraging and motivating. And if you'd like to learn more about the Home on Purpose program, just visit www.practicalfamily.org/homeonpurpose. And you definitely want to jump on the email list because I've got all sorts of wonderful content coming up. New podcasts and blog articles and intentionalized videos and all sorts of things to help you make your life at home easier. Thanks again for having me here tonight.